He's been seen on CNBC, the Fox News Channel, and the Fox Business Channel. His articles can be found on MarketWatch, Seeking Alpha, TheStreet.com, and many other places. He's the author of the weekly Best Stocks Now newsletter and the inventor of the Best Stocks Now app. He's president of Gunderson Capital Management. Here is professional money manager, Bill Gunderson.
And welcome to the Tuesday. It is the Tuesday, January 23rd edition of the Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management. And I'm here with Barry Kite, our chartered financial analyst. And we've got a soft day in the market here so far. It's really overdue for a correction of some sort. We continue to be very extended from a technical point of view, overbought, overpriced, rode hard, put away. Well, is that what they say, Barry? Something like that. But it's just a tired market right now. It needs to take a little bit of a breather. And we do have the market down a little bit. The Dow right now is down 93 points to 37,908. The S&P 500 is basically flat today. The NASDAQ is up 25 points to 15,387. Crude oil is down 36 cents to 74.40. Gold is at 20.24. The 10-year is at 4.14. It's drifted up quite a bit here since going below 4% not that long ago. And look at Bitcoin. Bitcoin is getting slammed again. Bitcoin is now back under 40,000. Bitcoin is down 1771 today to 38,863.
Well, you said sell the news on that, and that's down 20% since it was announced that they're going to do the ETFs.
So welcome to today's Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management, a nationwide fee-based only firm. Well, we had some milestones yesterday in the market. The Dow has never closed above 38,000. Until yesterday, it closed to 38,002 points, which is an all-time high, 38,002, all-time high. It was up 138 points yesterday. The S&P has never closed above 4850, somewhere in there was the previous high, and now we're there again, 4850 on the S&P. The NASDAQ was up 49 yesterday. It's closing in on its all-time high. It's got about 1,000 points to go. It's not there yet. Bitcoin continues to drop after ETF mania. Well, there is an old adage in the market. You know, there was that rumor for oh so long about Bitcoin being approved for ETFs. And, you know, the SEC held off for years, really, and just didn't want any part of it. And finally they acquiesced. I guess Bitcoin became popular enough, liquid enough to okay those ETFs. And so what had long been rumored finally became news about a week ago, 2 weeks ago, somewhere in there. And Bitcoin shot way up on the day before and the day of, even on the false tweet that was sent out.
Yeah, right.
A little scary when the SEC's Twitter account is hacked, but that's what happened. And now, you know what? What have you done for me lately? And it's kind of like sell the news. The news, the rumor turned into news, and Bitcoin has been weak ever since.
And I saw where they're unwinding the old FTX is unwinding some of their Bitcoin holdings. I guess that was left over from the Freed deal, so you know, trying. I guess they're trying to get some money back for some of those folks who got their money taken by FTX, and so it adds to the selling pressure there.
Yeah, that definitely would add to the selling pressure. There's just a lot of darkness that surrounds Bitcoin. A lot of secrecy. We know that North Korea and Iran and other bad actors are using Bitcoin to get around different kinds of restrictions that have been placed upon them. So anyways, I just don't get involved with the Bitcoin. Okay, so we had all-time high yesterday in the S&P 500 and the Dow. But here's the real worry right now. It's valuation. The forward P.E. ratio of the S&P 500 goes up to 21.09. So a record high for the S&P also means a record high in recent times for the S&P 500. And that forward P.E. ratio of 21.09, that's really, really stretched. And, you always see articles where people try to defend their position. And I don't remember who it was, Bank of America or one of those said, well, it's really not. If you take out the seven biggest stocks, it would only be 18. Well, I have a problem with that because the seven biggest stocks are a big part of the S&P 500. How can you take them out? Excuse me. How can you take those stocks out when they make up such a big part of the S&P 500? That makes no sense. But they're trying to, justify their stance on being bullish at this level in the market, right? That's usually what it is.
It's like if we remove the 400 worst stocks, right?
Then
everything's looking everything looks great.
You can make up all kinds of different reasons why you're wrong and try to support your thesis why you're wrong and the market's why the market's wrong and you're right. I've seen people do that too. Well, the market's eventually going to figure it out and I'll be right. Yeah, okay. Well, we'll see. We're going to get more earnings tonight. United Airlines, it had a good report. I'm not a fan of airline stocks at all. I remember Warren Buffett, he would never buy an airline stock. He finally gave in there for a while and owned, I don't know which one, Delta or United, one of those. They're just, they've got a lot of volatility. Everything from doors flying out over Portland to jet fuel to the economy to regulations. It's just a very, very difficult
supply chain issues. And I saw, it's funny, even in the old Graham book, The Intelligent Investor, I read a supplement to it one time, and the quote was, the airline industry has never made, as a whole, has never made a profit. So the point was that a great idea doesn't mean it's going to be a great stock or a great business.
No, I mean, it's a necessary business.
Yeah, we need it as a service, for us all. Yeah, great.
But as far as investing in it and having any kind of consistent growth, over the years, I think Southwest Airlines was a pretty good example of someone that came along and kind of upended the industry a little bit. But overall, I'm not a fan of airlines. Okay, today is New Hampshire. Dixville Notch, is that it? Is that that first little city up there that always votes? There's eight
Isn't
people.
Isn't that like the eight people? Yeah, right. I think you're right.
I always love to watch them cast their votes. In the meantime, Digital World has been watching. That's Trump's his answer to Twitter.
Yeah, the Truth Social.
Which is pretty dormant, really, but, when DeSantis dropped out yesterday, it soared way up. It went from 22 to 50, and now it's back to 44 today. That's another one. I mean, you're just trading. It's a trading, completely trading. There's nothing you can sink your teeth into. There's no sales. There are no earnings. There are no customers. There are no revenues coming in. No advertisers, but it's one that they like to play with the Trump news. It looks to me like that Nikki Haley will at least give Trump kind of a run for his money up in New Hampshire, but I expect him to win. And then, of course, they come here, Barry, in 4 weeks. We'll be the center of attention. And,
will they even make it here? That's a question, right?
Well, 4 years ago, it ended pretty much in South Carolina for the Democratic candidates when our guy Clyburn endorsed Biden and turned the whole election around. And I don't think Nikki Haley, even though she was the governor here, Trump is pretty popular.
Well, you've had recently Tim Scott, our senator, endorsed Trump. Of course, McMaster, our governor, endorsed Trump. So it seems like, even though it's her home state, it seems like it's an away game. Right?
Yeah. So anyways, always fun to watch. Okay, when we come back, we'll take a look at some of the earnings that are on tap. A big one comes in after the close tonight. This is the Best Stocks Now show. We'll be right back. Back here to the second quarter of today's Best Stocks Now show. Well, tonight we get Netflix reporting. It's not as important as it once was when it was, it was those FANG stocks, and Netflix was the N in FANG. You could argue that the N in FANG today is NVIDIA, or there's two N's, but having said that, Netflix definitely is a big player. From a little idea came a $200 billion company. And Netflix will report after the close tonight in that streaming space, which is also very, very competitive.
I just saw where they announced, I guess before the earnings, they announced they're making a $5 billion purchase for, I guess, the rights to Monday Night Raw, which is, we'll call that.
What is that?
We'll call that a sport. It's a professional wrestling, like the old, the old WWF offshoot of, the old Hulk Hogan and Andre the Giant. So they now have a live, quote unquote, live show. So they didn't, they haven't had that. It's the first time I think they've dove into that space, and somebody's a winner, $5 billion winner for the rights. So some people were into it.
When I was growing up, my grandmother up in Bakersfield, California, was a big wrestling fan. Chick Lane was the announcer, and we'd watch the wrestling matches together.
Yep. Yeah.
And she'd be up shouting at him and whatnot. She was a feisty little thing. And she also liked to watch the roller derby, which that was a big deal back then.
Oh, yeah. Right.
The L.A. Thunderbirds and Chick Lane, oh, man, that was a lot of fun. And then, if there wasn't that going on, she'd watch the neighbors fight out her window because they fought all the time. They just went at it. Exciting times in Bakersfield. All right, now, who else? Yeah,
eventually the last fight that she was watching outside her window, that eventually became YouTube, right?
Yeah. Yeah, that was a reality show.
Right, exactly.
Okay, also reporting 3M tonight. D.R. Horton, I think. Now, there's a surprise. D.R. Horton reported DHI, and finally we're seeing a little bit of softness in the housing industry. That's kind of the last sticky area of the market where inflation has not caught up to it and the high interest rates, but finally it's starting to catch up. D.R. Horton is down 8.6% today. That's the first bad report on a home builder in a long time. The other one that caught my eye that basically went unnoticed didn't hear any other analysts talking about it, but one of our big home builders, I want to say it was Meritage, MTH, let me check and make sure that's right, was bought out by a Japanese company. So Japan has not only made a bid for U.S. steel, which is now being looked at by the U.S. government, but there was a big home builder. It wasn't Meritage. Maybe it was MHO. But they were bought out by a Japanese company. We'll be buying our homes from the Japanese.
Well, maybe they could give us their mortgage rate since they're
they have zero,
right?
Zero. In fact, I think they're still negative.
Yeah, I think.
Okay, tomorrow
their decision today too, if I'm not mistaken. It might be tomorrow, but
the whole market will go on hold tomorrow. Eagerly awaiting the results from Tesla in the after hours. Tesla has just been in a slow drift lower. It's down to 210.75. It's finally starting to find some support here. But we'll see. I mean, that's going to be a big report. It's always one of the biggest reports of the entire quarter. It's also unpredictable. Tesla's a little bit unsteady with their sales. They have their problem with the factory in Germany not being able to get parts through that Red Sea. And by the way, we did take out some more positions there in Yemen yesterday, along with three other countries, taking out positions of the Houthi rebels that continue to block that Red Sea. Also reporting tomorrow, Abbott Labs, ASM. Now, that's a big one.
Oh, yeah.
And that stock's been hitting new highs. ASM makes the equipment to make so that NVIDIA can make those high-powered chips. And it's, $8.95 is all-time high, actually. It's hitting 52-week highs at $7.66. They're always a little bit on the volatile side too with their earnings.
Yeah, and the Tesla one's going to be real interesting. I've been looking since the beginning of the year. The whole kind of quote unquote green space, right, has really been
horrible.
Really been weak. I've covered yesterday. We talked about Solar Edge is cutting 16% of their workforce. You had Albert Marley was on an eight session losing streak. You had QuantumScape was on an eight session losing streak. Rivian was on one. I think a few of them got a positive in yesterday. But I mean, since the beginning of the year, it's really been interesting kind of how that whole. Really after that Hertz story, remember where Hertz dropped a third of their, it was going to sell a third of their Tesla vehicles, and, it seems to be just a rethink, right, in terms of, is that really, number one, viable place for capital, right?
And that doesn't look good when some poor guy's out pushing his Tesla in 4 feet of snow. I don't want to do that, heck. That looks horrible when it runs out of juice in the cold weather and finally get to the charging station and there's 22 cars there waiting. Lam Research reports tonight. ServiceNow, which is one of the best stocks that we've ever found. I think I found it 7-8 years ago, something like that. The CEO of ServiceNow is now the CEO of Nike. He should have never left ServiceNow.
I bet you those stock options would have been worth more at ServiceNow than they are.
He must have just wanted a new challenge. Lam Research reports, so we'll see how that goes. Then Thursday, Intel, which was kind of the surprise company, the surprise stock of last year, Taiwan Semiconductor has already reported, so there's pretty high expectations coming for Intel. My problem with Intel is still hard to get a handle on their growth, their earnings growth. You kind of have to just predict it. And right now, big earnings growth is being priced into the stock. I don't know if Intel can deliver that kind of growth. All right, this is the Best Stocks Now show. We'll be right back.
The This is Bill Gunderson. Thank you for tuning in to today's Best Stocks Now, Best Inverse Funds Now show. I put several hours of research in during the wee hours of the morning each day to bring you the very best cutting-edge stories that I can. To get 2 free weeks of my newsletter, go to GundersonCapital.com. To talk to us about our fee-based only money management services, call us at 855-611-BEST. Now, back to the second half of the show.
And welcome back here to the second half of today's Best Stocks Now show, where we got some slippage in the market here today. The Dow down 103. The NASDAQ, however, is on the upside. It's up 13 points right now. S&P 500 is flat right now. Okay, and then on Thursday we're going to get American, Alaska, Comcast, Blackstone, Humana, Nokia, Northrop Grumman, Southwest Airlines, Union Pacific, KLA. You know, I'm not seeing much yet that's going to move the needle one way or another on the estimate for the entire S&P 500. We're off to a very weak start in this earnings season. This is week number 3. And I would just say so far, it's been pretty weak between yesterday and today. And I watch that very, very closely because it's going to be the best predictor and indicator where the market goes from here. It's all about those earnings expectations. And so we continue to watch that. Oil's a little bit volatile here. The U.S. and U.K. military forces, with support from 4 other countries, conducted a fresh round of strikes on Monday, targeting 8 Houthi sites in Yemen in response to the militant group's attack on ships traveling through the Red Sea. Didn't we have... Blackbeard was from out of Charleston, wasn't he? Wasn't he raiding boats?
Yeah, Blackbeard pirate, right?
Yeah, he was famous pirate. That's what it reminds me of over there. They're pirates. They look like just a bunch of rowdy pirates, but they're deadly. They got deadlier weapons than Blackbeard had. Okay, the energy stocks have been a poor place to be so far, despite, you know, the usually... When there's trouble in the Middle East, you see oil prices heading up. But I was reading yesterday that Canada is going to have record output this year. The U.S. had record output last year. So maybe we aren't quite as dependent upon OPEC as we thought we were. Because despite all of the disruption in the shipping lanes and trouble in the Middle East, oil continues to hover around $74 per barrel. And the oil stocks so far, Equinor's down 10.5%, Baker Hughes down 10.1%, Devon down 9.5%, EOG down 8.9%, has not been a good place to be invested at all. And we don't own any oil stocks at all. Investors should stay disciplined amid presidential elections, says Russell Investments. Well, we have a lot of, there's a lot of anxiety. We have clients where there's a lot of anxiety. They're worried about the elections coming up this year. Well, you know what? I mean, there could be some chaos and some trouble. It's kind of hard to play the market today for what might happen. But you have to be on the lookout at all points in time. There's still a lot of unknowns at this point in time also. Whoever Trump picks as his running mate for vice president, that's pretty much anointing the next leader, right, of the Republican Party, because Trump will be termed out. If he were to win the election this year, he's got four years, and then whoever the VP is, would step forward. So I'm sure that he's going to give that a lot of thought, whoever it is that he names as the VP. Will be, you know, the anointed one come 2028. Yeah, I think this is my own opinion. I think he's the bet. I think the bettors have it right. I was looking at the odds in Las Vegas, and Vivek was, I think, number one. And here's my long shot, okay, 99-1, Charlie Kirk. How do you like that, Barry? That's my
to one. Right,
he'll bring in the youth vote. That's for sure. Our show is heard after or before Charlie Kirk's show in several of Salem's markets. Okay, let's see what else we got here. 10-cent games. You know what? This was a powerhouse at one time. Do you remember when 10-cent?
It was a trillion dollar
company.
I'm pretty sure we wrote it up one time.
We wrote it up.
Yeah.
Now it's having a good day today, but that issue, that problem, I'm sure you talked about that yesterday, the Chinese market continues to bleed.
Yeah, I mean, I was looking at today. It right now it's trading at the biggest discount that it ever has to the U.S. market. Of course, I think the U.S. stock market, equity market's been around longer, but I believe it's trading at, if you combine Hong Kong, the Hong Kong piece, and Chinese mainland piece of their equity markets, 38% below the U.S. market currently. And I was looking at NIO when I was talking about some of these, just green stories, right? I mean, literally, for the first 22 days of 2024, NIO is down 33%.
Ouch.
Xpeng down 33%.
Ouch.
Li Auto down almost 25%. I mean, it's some real, short of the problems that are already there in China, I mean, some of their biggest names, happen to be around the green technology, and it just doesn't seem to be working at the moment in terms from an investment standpoint. And I saw where China's looking to potentially fuel some money into their equity markets. I've seen stories for the last month or two where, they're encouraging and or making, quote unquote, encouraging, right? Making places not do short selling. Also, the stock analysts on the mainland making sure they don't have any negative stories. I mean, it's pretty unbelievable from an equity standpoint.
Yeah, no, it's not a good place to invest in right now. All right, we're getting a lot of the soggy stocks reporting. I call them soggy. That means was stodgy old growth giant of yesteryear. And, the epitome, one of them, it was Johnson & Johnson. That stock, no growth whatsoever, 4% growth. That's in the past. What's it going to be going forward? Maybe 5%. So they report earnings. Their earnings are down 3% year over year. Their sales are up 7%, and the stock is down 2.4%. And yet, it's probably one of the most owned stocks in the world by the folks at Merrill Lynch and Bank of America and Citigroup and Goldman Sachs, etc. They love to own Johnson & Johnson, but it's been a very poor performing stock over the last 1, 3, 5, and 10 years. And you do a valuation on it. Let's just look really quickly. Can we make a value case at all? I doubt it, but we're going to make sure. Let's see. J&J right now has a 5-year upside potential, 45%. Which is very poor. I require 75% or 80% minimum. So Johnson & Johnson is way off the mark. And another very soggy report from Johnson & Johnson. Procter & Gamble would be another one. It has a good day today, but it's been a 7% grower at best. That's in the past. Lately, it's been low single digits. And, you know, look, I mean, they've conquered the world, but there's just not a lot of room for growth. It's like Coca-Cola and Pepsi and Procter & Gamble. Oh, I can remember when I first got in the business, they were touting all of these names. This guy would come around. He was a wholesaler. You remember the old wholesalers that used to come around trying to pawn their mutual fund off?
Oh, yeah.
And he would pull out of his bag a thing of Crest toothpaste. Who makes this? And he would say, that's, you know, such and such. They need to bring out some Q-tips. And one thing right after another, shampoo. And he says, these are the stocks we own in our mutual fund. And about that time, I'd go get the lunch or something. You know, I didn't have much interest in those stocks. But they're the most owned stocks in the world. Somebody's got to buy them. It's just not going to be me. Okay, one last one here. 3M. How's it doing? Pride of Minnesota, down 10.5%. They've had a rough time. They really have. It's a 1% grower. We'll be right back. Back here to the final segment of today's Best Stocks Now show. Well, we'll look at a few more earnings here. Halliburton. How about Halliburton? Halliburton is up 31 cents today. So I'm going to say that their earnings, not that impressive. It's up 1%. Halliburton reporting earnings, member of the S&P 500.
Beat by six cents. They got actually had some pretty big rise in their international services piece, which which makes sense, right?
They
need to you know, here and in Canada. I mean, certainly here, we've really you know, from a production standpoint, have really kind of done our part on the supply front. It's a lot of the other places around the globe.
Yeah, that's holding oil down. Coinbase cut to neutral at J.P. Morgan. Yeah, you know what? I don't know that Bitcoin. That's it could be maybe the unwinding of that big position that you were talking about, or it could be sell the news. Coinbase is down $65 per share over the last 4 weeks. They're going to have a lot of competition too with the.
Well,
ETF.
They are. I mean, I went on there just to see. I was looking at different prices, right? For you know, from a fee standpoint, and I think, you know, I think I was reading. I think like $1,000. I want to say like $1,000 purchase. You know, their fee was like in the $70 range, where you could get an ETF and it'd be much cheaper. So
yeah,
it's interesting. You know, in the Grayscale, they ended up with the same problem. They had a lot of outflows because of the fact that their ETF fee is much more expensive than the new ones coming out.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, let's see how the defense stocks are doing here. Lockheed Martin reported earnings. You know, that's been a dead flat stock for a long time, and it remains a dead flat stock. Their earnings were up 1%, and their sales were down 1%.
And you would think with the strife in the world that they'd do great, right? But has not materialized.
You see, without earnings growth, where are you going to get stock price appreciation? I mean, it basically is it's a mathematical equation.
Yep.
A valuation of a company, if you're growing by 10% per year, and if the multiple remains about the same or where it should be, the stock should go up 10% a year. When it's 1%, where are you going to get stock price appreciation? Your only hope is someone comes along and buys them out, or all of a sudden they get some huge orders and move off that 1% growth you know, dime that they're sitting on. It's just not good. Raytheon, on the other hand, is doing pretty good. Raytheon's had a lot of issues, though. over the in the recent years, kind of like Boeing, where they've had quality issues and whatnot. When I think of Raytheon, I think of Patriot missiles shooting down Houthi rebel rockets fired at yeah. ships. So God bless the Patriot missile. Boy, what would we do without that? RTX is up 6.3% today. They beat top and bottom line. And we've got Verizon. Well, okay, Verizon's another one that's like a single-digit grower, but it's having a good day. And it pays a 6.8% dividend. This is a favorite Seeking Alpha stock. They love big dividend payers. But you know what? Look at the last four quarters. Their growth, negative 2, negative 4, negative 3, 0. There's just no growth. So that's really all you can do to squeeze more earnings out of that orange, of that lemon, I'd call it a lemon, is cutting expenses, laying people off, cutting expenses and doing it that way, or buying back shares. Okay, let's see. And the last one we'll do is GE, which had a pretty good year last year. That was a surprising comeback stock, really. Came back from the dead. It was $34 in 2020, and it's gotten clear up to $129. Massive comeback stock. They reported earnings that, just okay. It's down 1.15%, but they're getting some growth back. Their sales last four quarters up 7%, up 14%, up 18%. And up 20%. And General Electric is kind of linked to the airline industry and the growth of new planes because they make the engines.
Right.
So, anyways, that's General Electric. Now, in the last few minutes we have here, you know, these stocks that are non-growth companies today, at one time, they were the best stocks now. You go back 25 years ago, and AT&T owned the long-distance business and got some pretty hefty rates for calling overseas, unless you were doing it at non-peak hours and whatnot. And, of course, General Electric was once one of the great companies in the entire world. Consistent 15% grower year after year. But you can't keep that
hot up. Hotshot CEO back
yeah,
then.
Yeah, one of the hottest shot CEOs of all time. But you just can't keep up that kind of growth forever. Eventually, it catches up with you, the math. The math has caught up with Apple, for sure. It's down to a single-digit grower. So, like I say, we had a discussion yesterday with somebody that we've met with in the past, and I reiterated, at any given time, there's about 10% of the market that's really lively, is living, is breathing, is growing, is flourishing, and it changes from year to year. So anyways, that's I'm not a fan of the soggy stocks of yesteryear. Stodgy old growth giants of yesteryear, SOGI is the acronym there. But you know what? Wall Street sells these stocks because people are comfortable with them. Nobody's going to probably sue them if something were to happen to their IBM stock or their GE stock. And, you know, you could make the argument and say, well, suitability. Is Microsoft less suitable than GE? You know, I mean, they're both stocks, just because one is in the tech industry and one is in the
yeah, which one do you think has a better chance to go to zero? In 2008 and 2009,
yeah, exactly.
GE's Genworth almost, you know, their GE's, you know, branching out into the financial industry almost put them at risk.
Well, if you'd like to get 2 free weeks of the newsletter, the home of the best stocks now, go to our website at GundersonCapital.com. And if you'd like to set up an appointment with us, 855-611-BEST, 855-611-BEST. Have a great day, everybody.
This show is not a solicitation to buy or sell any securities. Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Past performance is not indicative of future performance. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based registered investment advisory firm. All accounts are held at Charles Schwab. Schwab is a member of SIPC and FINRA.